Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Today, my prophetic message is all about burnout. So if you've been experiencing kind of the low energy life, or if you've been completely burned out, this is a word I strongly think for many of you, you know, are going through right now. And God's bringing healing to burnout from life, burnout from purpose, burnout from your family, burnout from your career, burnout from ministry, burnout from health battles, burnout emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And I believe the Lord's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. And this is a season of Matthew 11:28. This is not poetic. It's not symbolic. This is an invitation from Jesus himself to those who've hit their limit. You've hit a wall. And before we jump in, we'll talk about a lot of things today, but I want to share something huge. So if you've never been a part of Exploring the Prophetic before, this is your first time, this is an invitation to give and be a part of what we're doing. And if you have been here before, but you've never donated before, this is huge because one of our partners has come forward with a $100,000 matching donation campaign for Bowles Ministries in the month of December. That means every dollar that you give this month is doubled. 25 becomes 50, 50 becomes 100, up to $100,000. So this is massive for our ministry, especially heading into 2025 or 2026. So we can expand, especially in our prophetic media and our mentoring and discipleship. So we have all kinds of ways that we do that. I know that this is one of them. Or every Sunday we have this prophetic message for you. So if you've ever thought about partnering with us, this is the month to sow into what God's doing in your life, into our ministry, and believing that it's rich, fertile, awesome ground. You can donate by going to bowlesministries.com, and your impact is going to be instantly doubled. Yes. Well, let's talk about this, because burnout isn't just a thing that some of you are feeling. It's a thing that the whole world's kind of feeling right now. Cultural context right now is wild. A recent Forbes study reported that over 60% of people are experiencing burnout at work in 2025 heading into the holidays. And across all generations, it's rising. Right now, Gen Z, they have over 80% are reporting significant burnout. That's a crisis. That's a crisis of the soul right now. And this is exactly the moment that God's highlighting. This is the time that God's healing people. And I'm rewiring their minds, he's saying. I'm refining their hearts, he's saying. Burnout's not meant to be your identity. It's not meant to be something that you live in for a long period of time where you can't have enough energy hours in the day in your mind or your heart or your body to move forward. And it's not the headline of your story. It's just not. And it may have felt like that maybe for years, maybe for just a small season, but it is not the headline of your story. And it's not where God is going to leave you. It's not, he didn't author your story to leave you here in a place of burnout. And the prophetic angle of this is God is rewiring how you see yourself and your life and your future. Burnout doesn't start in the body. It really starts in the mind. It starts in the heart. And I remember the season that I was the most burnt out, and I had some of the best things happening. And that's what, one of the confusing things about burnout is burnout sometimes does happen at times where we have a financial crisis or we have a terrible thing happen in our career or we have something bad happen in our health, but other times, or even family, but other times it happens when all things are good or all things have been good for a long time. And I was in a season where I had endless opportunities in the areas that I was looking for. And I had just a lot of favor, a lot of connections, all the things that you want. But I was tired of it. Like I was tired of the routine of it. And my mind had to be healed. My perspective had to be regrounded in the truth of the Bible and the Word of God. And it really starts in the mind. And I remember when I went through that season, I had to take time. I had to take, I had to hibernate a little bit. I had to kind of dismantle some thoughts. I had to go through some more discipleship. And I had to be really intentional with the Word. But remember Jesus' invitation again. He says in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. So many of you are burned out in your job. You know, you're heavy laden. I mean, what a weird term. You're heavy in the heaviest parts of you. You can't even, like, you're slogging through the day. You're exhausted. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that doesn't mean that, like, what you're going through isn't going to be so heavy or isn't going to be intense or isn't going to be big. But when he carries it with you and then for you, it's totally different. And this isn't just a nice verse. This is a divine exchange. This is a time when you can exchange what you're caring for, what God is caring for you. And God's calling you out of exhaustion and really into a refreshing presence. And if that's you, make sure to hashtag my turn. This word's for me. Like, tell us how we'll be praying for you, but keep listening. So God's good. And especially towards the end of this, I'm going to give kind of a prophetic word and a prayer activation. I think some of you need that prayer, but God's pouring out a spirit like living water on parched ground. And some of you are going to feel that you're feeling like, wow, I'm at my max. I'm at my limit. I'm at as far as I can go. I've done everything I could do. I've done all the work. I've cried out all the ways I know how to cry out. I've done, maybe it's a financial thing. So I've worked all the ways I know how to work. And God wants to show you that he wants to rewire you and help you, because those circumstances may be slower to change. Who you are in them could be very quick to change, could be very night and day when it comes to how God wants to change you. Because God, he refires your passions and he brings you back to life. That's who he is. He's a resuscitator. He's so good. And the apostle Peter echoes this in 1 Peter 1:13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded and set your hope fully on the grace that's going to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God wants to reset your mind and he wants to prepare your mind for action, not frantic busyness, but purpose and spirit-led living. That's spirit-led momentum and movement. And I love in Philippians, this is like, you have to go here in Philippians 4:8, because Paul urges you, finally, brothers, whatever's true, like truth, whatever's honorable, good, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable. These are a lot of whatevers. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Another translation says, think or set your affections about these things. And this is really key to overcoming burnout, choosing what we fix our minds on, choosing where you're going to focus. I know a lot of people get burned out on media, news media, because news media can be terrorizing. It can be tormenting. Like, my wife has gone through seasons in the last couple of years where she's like, I just have to turn off all social media for a couple of days. I need to do social media fast, because so much was being bombarded. You know, we're watching her TikTok feed and all of a sudden you see the shooting of Charlie Kirk. That was awful to have to witness. I'm so sad what happened, but I didn't need to see it with my own eyes. I could have received it differently. So we can get traumatized by things that hit our culture on our TikTok, our social media, on our normal YouTube media, on television media. And so it's hard when you're like trying to figure out, like, how do I reposition my faith after elections like we just had, after the polarization of political parties that has been so hard. You know, a big part of the healing comes from how we choose to see God in the world around us. That's one of the things our whole ministry focuses on, is looking at God and culture. And you don't always have to agree with my perspective. Like, in my social commentary, I'm not asking you to buy into everything I believe, but I'm asking you to look for and discern God for whatever he's doing, more than what the enemy's doing, more than what man's doing wrong, but look for Jesus. Look for the love of God. Look for how God's operating in systems that look so corrupt and so hard, when there's things that are happening where it feels like humans are never called to full justice, and Diddy trials or in Epstein issues. But then you look for what God's doing behind the scenes and you start to see the testimonies of how he's impacted and saved and delivered and brought things to justice in his kingdom way. And we have to make a deliberate choice. Jesus addressed this in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25-29, really building on Matthew 13-12, where he says, for the one who has, more is going to be given, but he who, and he will have abundance, which is like, if you have, you're going to have more. And, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And this sounds like a really unfair scripture. You know, this isn't about material possessions at all. It's about a mindset principle. And if we live with a have not mentality, if we're trapped in the trauma of what's lost or what doesn't work, every hardship just piles up to more defeat. That's just reality. If you have not, if you're going through something, you're like, God, you never come through this way, then your mind will prove to you all the ways that God's not coming through, because your mind looks to reinforce the ideas, the core beliefs you have. And if your mind is looking and going, God, even though I'm suffering or this is hard right now, I know you will come through, then your mind is going to be looking for how God's going to come through. And Jesus was addressing even a psychological, but it's also a spiritual principle in that. And it's about people who really live with an expectation that God's good, that he's near, that God's going to work even when things are hard. And he's working for my benefit. Like, he's working for you right now. God has all the angel armies working on your behalf. You know, those who live from that lack or the fear or the trauma or the disappointment, and that's where you operate from. When you live from loss, you know, everything feels like loss. When you live from like that exhaustion, everything feels overwhelming. One more person, even a good thing, like someone says, hey, I had tickets for a game, or I have, you know, a vacation to go on or whatever. Vacation, planning vacation feels exhausting to an exhausted person. Like, anything that's more work feels like a pile. And I've watched people who are CEOs that I've mentored, like that can't be present with their kids' baseball games or basketball games because they're just so overwhelmed that they can't go there and be like, this is so fun to watch my child. It's like, this is one more thing that I have to do. And when you're that burned out, you have to change from the inside out. You have to literally like go to a place where you allow that divine exchange between you and God, and you allow yourself to get untraumatized. Because when you live from trauma, everything feels unsafe. everything feels like trauma, you know. But when you live from the truth that God's good and he's a good father, you start to see Romans 8:28, which is one of my favorite scriptures. And every part of my life, that God will work all things for the good of those who love him. You know, God's going to work everything for your good. And even your hardship becomes holy ground. I mean, your suffering becomes something that God's going to use not only for you, but for your family, for the world around you, and ultimately for the whole world, for Jesus' return. And your suffering becomes a soil. When you have that mentality, like you're going, oh my gosh, this is the hardest season I've ever been through. What are you going to do, God? This is the worst thing I've ever gone through. Jesus, how are you going to show up? I can't believe I experienced this level of loss. I don't know a lot of friends who've experienced this level of loss. Where are you, Jesus? Because you love me. And if I suffer with you, and if I endure the fellowship of your sufferings, I get to endure the fellowship of your glory. That's just reality. So your sufferings become a soil, and your disappointment really becomes divine opportunities. Doesn't mean you don't experience disappointment or sadness or even some level of depression over things that have happened, but you don't live there. You don't let that be your guiding force. And I remember, you know, when I was 13, I had 13 and 14, I had seven friends die all in one short period of time, and one from a brain aneurysm. He was like one of our youth leaders. He was heroic. A friend of mine who I brought to the Lord named Penny, and she and her boyfriend were driving in their car, and they got hit by a drunk driver, and she was killed. And I remember just thinking, like, I hadn't even met her boyfriend yet. Like, I hadn't seen her in 2 months, but I saw her all the time before that. And I just, you know, I remember Karen, who died of a disease that we're all believing God was going to heal her from. And it just, all these friends died, you know, over just a short period of time, seven friends. And to have be a young tween teen and facing that level of loss, I had no tools. I had no places to put that. And my parents didn't have a lot of tools other than Jesus himself, just to like pray and wait on the presence of God to help me through that. It was really dark for a season. And I remember my mom came to me and said, Sean, you aren't who you are anymore. And you're letting this be your identity. You're letting the grieving and the suffering be your identity. And so I think you need to put kind of a time limit on how long you're going to allow this to last on as far as your focus every day, and put like make time for it to grieve and experience this, and then make time to let yourself be you again. Like you didn't die with them. You're still alive. And she just spoke out of her heart, you know, and I remember praying, going, God, help me, like help me to put this somewhere, because I became so burned out on normal life because of the grief I was experiencing. And the feeling of like, should I die too? Or am I going to die too? Or those kinds of things as a 13, 14 year old, not knowing where to put that. I remember that my disappointment and all that was going on, I started to have this divine expectation that God, you're going to do something in my life. We're going to allow this disappointment and the sadness and the sorrow of losing so many friends. Luckily, they were all Christians, believers, so I'll see them again. But you're going to allow this to build something in my life. You're going to build something through this. You're going to build a story, a testimony, skills, tools. And 13, 14, to have parents, and also just in my own place of relationship with God, to reinforce that. Romans 8:28, you will use this for my good. You will build skills I didn't have and tools I wouldn't have had. You will build stories of love and connection to people that I wouldn't have known how to love and connect to without this loss of these experiences happening. And really, the disappointment did become divine opportunities and skills that came in. And your setbacks become setups. And those of you who've walked with God, you know that's true. Because sometimes you've failed. Like I've failed before. And I thought, how do I recover from this failure? How do I recover from this place of like, you know, of sin that we all go through? We're all human. We all have sin. And then you look at it and your repentance makes way for God to bring what's called redemption or restoration. And he redeems time. He redeems setups. And you think of King David. I've been watching The House of David with my family. We just finished season 2. Such a great show. I would highly recommend it. And what I love about it is you're seeing the humanity of David and Saul and who God picks. And I can't wait to see future seasons of the show. Pray for that show that they get picked up for their season 2, 3, and 4, or 3, 4, and 5. But you think of King David and you think of his humanity of like, I mean, he killed a woman's husband so he could marry her. It's just, he sent him to the front lines where he knew he would die. He committed some of the same acts that Saul was doing against him on some of the people that he loved and some of the people who served him. And yet he would return to God and God would restore him. And I just think God is so good, because even your setbacks, even when it's your fault, setbacks become setups and God helps you. And this is the mindset shift that breaks burnout. The reality is that your sacrifices and your surrenders and even your setbacks are precious to God. And it's like the widow's mite or Mary's perfume poured out on Jesus' feet. God honors those places. And when you're burned out, it's easy to accumulate hardship. It just is. Viewing every setback as a proof that nothing's going to change. Every time one more bad thing happens, I mean, if I've mentored people, I've counseled people who've had hardship, especially when it's like financial or relational hardship. It's like, you know, you get three steps forward and then you got five steps back and you're like, Lord, man, or sometimes you get into the winning victory side of it where you get three steps forward and two steps back and you just focus on the two steps you went back, but not the one step you went forward. And we have to like learn how to focus on what God is doing. And we don't, that doesn't mean we're in complete denial of the current reality of some of the hardships of the two steps back, but we also look at what God's doing and we celebrate and we live for what God's doing. And the prophetic word today is all about this. I think that, you know, God's inviting us to reframe all that we're seeing with his eyes, with his heart, with his biblical foundation. And we want to look for his hand in our trials. We want to look for what he's doing, how he's using our trials to build resilience and deepen our faith and really prepare us for greater things. You know, you don't live in the wilderness. You don't live in the hard times. You don't live in the death. You don't live in the destruction. You don't live in the burnout. You don't live in the abandonment, all these things. But you live, and when he authors your story, you live in his goodness. You live in connection to him and then to the people he brings into your life. You live and you know, I just think it's that thing of like that intention that we have to preach. Like there is a place when you live with God that you live in a connection or a container of grace. Even if you suffer, that there's a goodness in God's heart that you see and you can focus on in the life that he's given us. And there's a divine urgency because he is returning. There's a divine urgency because people are going to hell that you look at and go, even though I'm suffering this way, I still have heaven in front of me. And so I count it all as loss anyways to in comparison to what I'm gaining through Christ Jesus. And so there's this place where it's like you can surrender some of these losses because you know the big wins that you've already gotten through the cross and the redemption of the cross. But God's refiring your purpose and he's healing your family. He's healing your wounds. He's revitalizing your career, maybe your ministry, and restoring your health. Like God's restoring you. And you got to choose to see him as one who turns ashes into beauty and really mourning into dancing. Like if that's, those aren't just poetic scriptures and psalms, you know, it's like he does turn the things that feel like they're burned up, the things that feel like they have no value, and he turns them into beauty. And I remember one of our friends when we were in Africa, they were using ash to, like all this ash from fires that they built to put on termite mounds and on ant mounds. And they said, this like stops them from coming near our houses. And we've learned to find beauty in the ashes. Like we've learned how to find usefulness and even the things that are burned that actually help us to live better. And I just thought, what a beautiful picture that God uses the burning to stop predators, to stop things that are bothersome in our life. But even more than that, he turns the ashes into beautiful things for us. And he turns our mourning into celebration, meaning that even the times that we're going through the hardship of life, that there's something on the other end of it. Like Job, when he suffered so greatly for all those books in the Bible, or all those chapters in his book, I mean, and he suffered so greatly. And at the end of it all, he inherited a double portion and he inherited more of connection and more of a resilience in his relationship with God that was so worth it that he was happy with what he gained. Some of you are so burned out that even if you accumulated something like you had twice as much, that wouldn't actually solve the issue. Because it's not that you need more. Sometimes more brings more activity and stewardship and needing to work harder, and you're not wanting to do that. That's like more isn't more for you. What's more for you and what would be worth like the end of your Job experience or the end of your chapter of burnout would be to have a deeper connection, a new rhythm of life, more understanding of your own self and more understanding of the world around you. And God wants to bring you discernment and wisdom, and he wants to bring you the authority. I love Proverbs. It's the book that helps us to win life. He wants to give you the proverbs inside, the guardrails, the boundaries that are set inside so that you don't get to this place of burnout where when he does add to you, it's not like, oh, it's good, but it's so much more work, or I don't have capacity to enjoy it, or I'm not excited. And I've seen parents go through this. They have three young kids and they have a fourth on the way and they're just like, oh, how are we doing number four? Then the baby's born. And they're like, there's always room for one more. Wow, there's room for this one. And I've also seen parents who didn't like having a child and they had to adjust to that and they had to let God do a work in their heart. And it wasn't like, oh, like the emotional goodness, but there's something inside of them that was able to find God. And this mindset shift, it's not automatic. And this spiritual shift inside of you doesn't happen instantly. It's a daily choice, but it's a choice you can have empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you need to start now. Like if you identify even the slightest bit of burnout, you don't have the full energy and your emotions, your spirit, or your mind today, to live out the full day. Like you crash at some point. Maybe it's more severe than that, where it's like, it was hard to get out of bed today. Maybe there's dark thoughts that are clouding anything good. Like it's been a while since you've seen light in a real way in your life and in your emotions and your heart. But you can spend time in God's presence and meditate on his promises and watch as you're in the Bible, as you're looking at how God really is, as you look at him, not yourself, not what you don't have, not what you do have, not what you don't do, not what you do do. You look at God and you look at who he is and you go, wow, wow. And you come from a mentality of like, I have to do all this too. I get to do all this again. And maybe for some of you as Christians, it's been a long time since you've been like, I get to do this. I get to be this. And I know when you're in marriage problems or when you're in financial problems or when you're in health problems, it's hard to get back to that place. But that's where the Bible brings us. It brings us to a place of gratitude. We just came out of Thanksgiving, and one of the healings when you study psychology of burnout is actually an attitude of gratitude. And that's not a Christian terminology. This is like when you study psychology, when you could be grateful for what you have in life, it actually starts to heal that a level of burnout and trauma that comes along with it. So even that, it comes from the Bible, but even psychology proves it. You know, God, I believe, is saying some things, and I'm going to pray these things over you. Before we do, I just want to encourage you to just like really become aware of just the burnout that's inside of you so we can pray over it. Also, subscribe to our channel, subscribe to our podcast, hit like, and think about sharing this podcast with somebody else who needs it. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're going, that's my husband, that's my mom, that's my dad, that's my wife, that's my son, whatever it is. If there's someone who's experiencing burnout, let them hear this so they can like maybe make some course corrections or internal adjustments. Some of you are going, wow, I've let myself get this far. I didn't look at it as something I had to be so proactive with. I'm realizing I really am burned out. I really can't, you know, pull myself up by the bootstraps right now. I really can't. I mean, if 60% of culture is burned out just in their careers, you're not alone. This is happening. It's an epidemic. It's a spiritual battle on the earth right now. Forbes identified it, but it's a battle. The enemy is trying to steal our energy. He's trying to steal our capacity. He's trying to steal our fortitude and our go get them, like our energy. And I just, you have to realize that that's something that God takes very seriously. And God is the antidote. The presence of God is the antidote. And the Bible is very clear. Just meditating on the word, learning who he is, learning how to position your heart and your boundaries in life, man, you can change. You're going to have such a big change that this time next year, you will have forgotten the pain of the burnout because he can do so much in your life in 1 year. So I'm going to pray, and I'm not saying it's going to take a year, thank God, but I'm going to pray for you. So I want you to just focus on Holy Spirit. And I really felt like God was saying, because I was praying over this after I read the Forbes article, I just got this download and I felt like I could see the Father and I could hear like his heartbeat for you. And I felt like he was saying, I'm healing the way you think. I'm healing the way that you process and the way that you see the world and the way that you even see me in the world and the way that you see your future and the way that you see your future in certain aspects. And I believe that God's saying, I'm breaking the cycle of burnout over my people. And it's going to be a stark contrast to people who don't know me, who are burnt out to the point that they're going to be looking for those who aren't in their relationships and their finances and their health and their opportunities. They're going to be looking for people who like themselves and their opportunities, even if they don't like the job itself. They're working at the Costco place or they're working at the corporate job or they're working in the hospital and they like themselves and they like being there, even if they're not loving the job, they're not burned out. And there's 60% of people are. So when you're not burned out and you're actually happy within yourself, people are going to ask you, where does that come from? And God is saying, I'm bringing you to people who, as you come out of your burnout, I'm bringing you to people who are burned out and people who don't have tools and don't have a connection to me and don't have a relationship to help them. And they're going to get saved just because you were willing to focus on whatever's good, pure, right, noble. Fix your mind and affections on those things that are honorable. And they're going to see that you live life differently. And they're going to want that difference in their own life. And I'm healing the stress and trauma, God says, that's been stored in your body. Some of you are going to have, like, even as you hear that, a breaking off. It's going to be, maybe it's going to be over a season. Maybe it's going to be instantaneous, like a breaking off of the trauma you've held. Maybe it was a relational trauma that then manifested in a sickness in your body. Or like some of you have been diagnosed with those uncurable things like a fibromyalgia or like a nerve disorder or something or complex pain disorder. And God's going to heal those things even as you're hearing this because your body took these things in, the warfare into your body and the burnout into your body. And God is saying, I'm breaking these things. I'm going to rewire and things that have been stored in your body are going to be released. Some of you are just going to be after the season of just going deeper with God. Some of you are just going to be instantaneously, God is saying, I'm rewiring your expectations. so you can see me and all things again. And I think of Corrie Ten Boom, who, you know, she's a famous woman, a Christian woman who helped save Jews during the Nazi time. And she and her father and her sister ended up getting imprisoned in a concentration camp, and her father and her sister were killed there. And she was, while she was in the women's prison, she got lice really bad, and she was so angry. Her sister was still alive, and she said she wrote this in her book, and then it was again portrayed in Billy Graham's wonderful movie he did. I think there's been movies since. But she's like, comes out to her sister, and she's so bitter at life and God and so burned out and just done. Like, I'm here because I help people. I serve God, and he allowed me to be in this prison watching people die every day. And her sister just looked at her and said, thank God for everything, Corrie, even the lice. Thank God for the lice. She goes, I can't thank God for the lice. I can't thank him for everything. I can't. And she runs in the bathroom crying in the movie, and she's just crying out. And this woman soldier comes in and goes, you better thank your God for the lice, because that's the only reason why the men aren't coming in. The men soldiers aren't coming in and taking advantage of you. And she hears that, and she realizes, like, even in the lice, there's purpose. Like, God's using even the suffering to protect something. And sometimes he uses suffering to protect something, but you need to be able to see God even in the sufferings. And you can't do that if you're off, balance, if you're burned out so much so that you're not connecting anymore even to God. And so he wants to restore you. And he's saying, I'm refining and refiring your purpose again, where passions died and your purpose, the thing that you love the most, the thing that when you got saved, or when you had your first encounter with, like, I get to do something with God, and you're so excited about it, and now it's dead, or maybe it's been buried, or maybe it's been attacked, or whatever it is. God's going to restore it. He's going to restore joy where fatigue settled in, where fatigue is your story. It's not going to be your story anymore. It's not going to be your headline anymore. And he's going to refresh your mind. I felt like the Lord said, I'm going to refresh minds so you can think with heaven's clarity. You can think with his neuropathways and his light and his, you know, he's going to fire some things off in you that you haven't felt this alive in your mind and this clear in your mind for so long. And he's going to give you a rest that you can't produce on your own. And I pray that for you right now, a rest. Some of you have not rested. Your sleep has been attacked. It's been fatigued. And I pray over your sleep that God would come into your sleep and that he would cause it to be true rest again. Lord, that would you guard our sleep? Would you heal our sleep? Would you heal the amount of hours we sleep? Lord, would you maximize that? And God's not asking you to push harder, you guys. He's not asking you to push harder. He's asking you to receive more deeply. It's not about, like, doing more for him. It's not about working harder. I mean, there's some time you need to spend with them, but it's not about, like, this big, I have to do all these things. I have to go to a bunch of events and go to tons of therapy and go to tons of counseling. I have to go to tons of discipleship. And there may be some of all of those things. There may be, but it's not about the work. It's not about you having to do so much more work to work yourself out of burnout. It's about receiving from him and literally going so deep and allowing him to go so deep inside of you by his presence that he identifies things to you that will alleviate and exchange, like, where it's like, give me that. Now give me that. Now here, give me your time. Give me your yeses. Give me your no's. Give me your boundaries. Give me your relationships. Let me reorganize. Let me reactivate. Give me your conversations, because some of them have been way too intense or way too dramatic or way too one-sided or whatever. And he's going to disciple you. And the Holy Spirit is the best discipler. I want you to stretch out your hands. Just if you can, wherever you're at. If you can't, just put your eyes or your heart in a posture of receiving. And Jesus, we pray that you would create the plan and the anticipation side of us that you're healing burnout, that this isn't going to be our story. Lord, heal the stress places, heal the discouraged places, heal the exhaustion and the exhausted places. Rewire us, rewire our thoughts, refire our passions, reset our mindset. God, release your rest. It's a thing. It's not just like, we get a rest sometimes. There's a rest that comes from the presence of God, that kind of only he can give, a peace that passes our understanding. We cannot manufacture it in ourselves. It comes from God. Some of you, your burnout's been so intense that you haven't had peace. You've been fighting anxiety on so many different levels, and you think that that's your story now because you may even have a diagnosis, but it's not how God made you to operate, and he wants to help you. Anxiety can be sin. It can be a really bad sin. Sometimes anxiety is not sin, but it can be a really bad sin, and it can cause you to live without discerning or discernment of what God's doing anymore. And I pray that God would take you out of anxiety, that he would pull you back, that he would show you what he's doing. You're not meant to live depleted. And we pray that there's depletion, that God would fill you back up, that you would even see yourself. If you see yourself as an empty well, that you would see that God's tapping into deeper ground and filling your well back up from the bottom up. And you're meant to live deeply, fully loved, and alive. That's just who you are. It's like John 10:10. Then he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Life is that sense of one of the greatest gifts that God gave us. He gave you this lifetime and this human side of lifetime where it's, we only have so many years and it's a fleeting vapor or wind. It's still a gift from him. And each day is a gift from him. And when you don't live, or when you're living in burnout, you can't see the gift. When you're living in burnout, you can't delight in him. When you're living in burnout, you can't see what he might do. If you have 7 years left or 50 years left, you can't see what he can do because you're living and focused on the negative and on the hardship. And God wants to give you your joy for his life again. It's one of the most beautiful things. John 10:10, I prayed over you that he would give you a life and a life abundantly. Surrender your life again to God freshly. To say, surrender my life, God. Maybe you need to be saved just as much as before when you were first salvation saved, like you gave your whole life to God and you said, recreate me, make me a new creation. Maybe there's a place in your life right now where it feels like I need that first love again. I need that full surrender again because my life isn't what I thought it would be. And God wants to heal the burnout right now. And the stories of restoration that come out of this season are going to be some of your greatest stories of all time. And I just want to encourage you, anchor yourself in that. Let him anchor you in hope. I think of Zechariah where it says, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope, for even now I restore a double portion to you. And some of you are such prisoners of hope that even in the midst of the burnout, you're so full of God. You're like, oh, I love you so much, God. It's so hard. I don't know where to go with this. And he's heard that and he knows that you don't know, but he has a plan to pull it all back together, to pull you right back into his will. And you're not too old and you're not too young, especially not too old. Some of you are feeling like I'm 60 now, I'm 70 now. Yeah, I don't know. This might be the story now. This is not your story. If it's a negative thing, if it's a negative identity, if it's a negative trait, if it's a negative, you know, sense of being, that's not who you are. You're supposed to have an internally well sense of being. That's who Jesus is. He restores us to a right sense, a righteousness inside of us. And burnout is not righteousness. And the story burnout creates is not the testimony of Jesus. So I pray over you that you would be regeared, rebalanced, reconfigured. Let him do it. Let him do it. Wow. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that your presence can get us there. Thank you. Your presence is moving powerfully, but maybe differently than we've experienced you before. So let us be open to the new in Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you guys for letting me speak that over you and just being a part of your journey. I know so many of you have been responding and commenting on YouTube or on Facebook or even on Twitter. It's so encouraging to hear even your reviews on our podcast. Just so encouraging that you're here with us. Some of you, I've had friends from when I was in my 20s, pastors I went to their church and spoke at when I was in my 20s and 30s who've reached out, especially over the last couple of weeks. There's been something really prophetic about the messages we've been bringing that has resonated with a lot of different types of people, especially people who have kind of a maturity on them that you know that they're like, you've been maybe in some warfare or you've been in some burnout and you know that it's time to pivot into the new. I'm so glad you've been here. We're so glad. And if this ministry has blessed you at all, remember this is a huge opportunity to give. Every dollar you give gets doubled because of that matching donation of up to $100,000. We've never had, except for last year, we've never had an opportunity like this. The same donor wanted to do it again 2 years in a row, double portion for us to actually say, let's do it. Last year, we actually had matching donations all the way up to the $100,000. So we had $200,000 help to start our year. That's like almost one fourth of our budget as a ministry. So if you guys can help us out by giving whatever you can, your $25 equals 50, your $5,000 equals $10,000. It'll make all the difference in the world. And the seed you're sowing is going to export us to bring media, to maximize the audience, to reach more people with the prophetic gospel. And we need your help to do it. And we're so glad you're here exploring the prophetic. And we're so glad that you're just listening to these words. I hope it reaches your heart in the deepest places. Visit us at our website, bullsministries.com. Sign up for a newsletter there. You're going to love it so much. And I want to thank you for joining me here. And remember, God is your restorer. Lean into him today. Until next time, stay expectant. Walk in his peace. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week flights live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to BowlesMinistries.com or SeanBowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.